Amen. Certainly appreciate the good singing this morning. Something on someone's heart, anything before we go any further in the service. It does our heart well this morning, once again, like I said, to see those that's come out this morning to the Lord's house. It surely is the day that He has given us that we might be able to worship Him and praise Him. And I believe it was said best this morning in Sunday school that I hope and I pray that each and every Lord's Day that we recognize a risen Savior. That'd be my prayer. But we've set aside this day that we truly might be able to remember the great sacrifice that He made, and that we might truly try to praise Him and exalt His holy name to the best that we can. And it was made mention that even in our feeble efforts, we probably won't be able to do just exactly like we'd want to. But boy, I just want to be just exactly where God wants me to be. And I want to worship Him and praise Him just exactly how God wants me to. And I want to leave here this morning knowing that it's been good to be here. And if God's Spirit passes by, I know it will be. So I need your prayers this morning. My thought this morning is somewhat, I guess, simple in context, but that'll be all right. My thought this morning is joy comes in the morning. And I've thought a lot about that through this week, and I've thought a lot about different things I guess really I hadn't put much thought into. Maybe before, a little bit different context, I guess. But I do pray this morning that if you're here and you've never been saved, I want you to know something, that you'll never hinder me from preaching. You'll never hinder this service. If God gets to dealing with your heart, because it's a one-on-one experience between you and God, I can't tell you this morning if you're lost. I can't tell you this morning if you've been saved. That's between you and the Lord. But if He lets you know this morning that you're lost and separated from Him, that if you die, that you know that you'd go to hell, I want to encourage you this morning that you seek the Lord. And I want you to know that you're never going to be a hindrance to this service. If God gets to dealing with you, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time to seek the Lord. So be willing, if you feel the need to come to this altar, you come to this altar. If you feel the need to pray at your seat, then you pray at your seat. We want you to be saved more than anything. But I'll say this to clarify, I'm not in the saving business, but Jesus is. I can't help you, but He can. So you're going to have to go, you're going to have to cry out to Him. Certainly today, I want you to know this morning, there's no better name to me than the name of Jesus. When I began to think about even us naming our children and how precious my boys are to me, I believe when we all start talking about our children, our grandchildren, you start tugging on the heart a little bit. And ought to. They're a precious gift from God. But there is none other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. And to me, that's the sweetest name that there is. For it's Him who I called on upon about 9 or 10 year old little boy that I was in a revival one week. So it's through and by Him is who I'm trusting in that I'm going to go to heaven one day after a while. I'll say this, Proverbs 14:1 says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I want you to know this morning, if you've already come here, maybe you've come here this morning because your family comes or whatever the case may be, I want you to know I'm glad you're here. But I don't believe it's just by mere accident. I don't believe in coincidences this morning. I believe if you're here this morning, it's because God wants you here. So this morning, you may be here and you may say, well, I don't believe there's a God. Well, I want you to know this morning, I'm going to try my very best to declare to you a living and risen Savior. He is alive. When we think about Jesus, last week, we got to talking a little bit about Him being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and how He made His triumphal entry there into Jerusalem. And we wanted to this week for us as we partook there of the Lord's Supper. I wanted to try our very best for us to get our hearts conditioned in a way that we might be able to come into this place today and truly exalt His holy name and just give Him thanks for what He's given us in our life. It's beyond measure a lot of times that I sit back and just examine myself and say, Lord, not only did You save me, not only did You put my feet on a solid foundation and You set me moving in the right direction, that You set me in a church that's pleasing unto me, but Lord, You've given me my family. You've provided for me every means of everything I've ever needed. And all of that has came from God. Every bit of it. So I hope and I pray this week that we've all got our hearts in a condition to where we can serve Him. As Jesus come there into Jerusalem, I told you that He set His face to go towards Jerusalem. He had a means to go. He knew what lay before Him. And this morning, I want you to know, maybe this morning God has dealt with you in the past, but I want you to understand this morning that Jesus Christ went through all of the suffering that He went through for me and for you. I know this morning, maybe some of this may not be new to some of us, but I want you to know, as I told them this morning in sunrise service, that the old story will never grow old to me. No matter how many times I read it, no matter how many times I preach on it, no matter how many times that God wakes me up in the middle of the night, that old story will never grow old to me. About a Savior who went and paid a price for me and for you. Jesus Christ, who was without fault, without sin, that He had false accusations, if you will, that was presented on Him, and yet there He was, that He was presented before Pilate, and Pilate could find no fault in this man. He could find nothing amiss with him, and yet he desired that he might turn him loose, but yet the people didn't want to turn him loose. They ended up turning Barabbas, who was a thief and a murderer, they released him. And yet here it was, Jesus. They said, crucify Him, the Son of God. They said, well, He committeth blasphemy because He said He is the Son of God. Jesus Christ never lied. He told them over there, He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. This morning, I want you to know the one that we're worshiping. Not only, we got into it a little bit last week, but as He rode there in Jerusalem, not only did they take and scourge Him and whip Him beyond measure, beyond what we're even to comprehend, that He took all of that punishment for me and for you. Years ago, I began to think about those nails that they used to drive in His hands and in His feet. And I was walking down a railroad track. I'll never forget it. We was in Kansas. And for some reason, I made my way out to the railroad track. And I was walking out there and got to looking. And one of those old railroad nails that they drive the rails in was laying there. And I reached down and I picked that up. And I guess I had never put a whole lot of thought into it. But then I began to think about, as I picked that nail up, about the nails that was used, that was driven into Jesus' hands and in His feet there, that they had to be something that would be big enough that could hold the weight of a man up. They had to be strong enough. And as I held that up and I held it in my hand there and I looked there at the head of that big nail, the Lord began to paint a picture for me. As they took and laid Him down there, we don't have any inclination in the Scripture that He cried out or that He said anything when those nails were being driven into His hands, into His feet. He never said nothing. And then they hoisted Him up for the world to see. Not only that, but we know all the things that took place as far as the crown of thorns and all of those things. the most beautiful words that we heard about this morning is when Jesus said, "Therefore, have received the vinegar," he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, knowing that he had fulfilled the law. He had fulfilled everything that God had asked him to fulfill. He had came, and there was a way that was made. We know here that it talks about that how his body was placed in a borrowed tomb. The scripture teaches us that he became poor that we might become rich. Jesus didn't have anything. Nothing of world material. He didn't have nothing. We read about over there that he said the foxes have the holes and the birds have their nests, but he said the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He became poor. The Creator of all things, who owned it all, who made it all, who spoke it all into existence, he gave it all up and became poor that we might be rich. Didn't even own the tomb that he was placed in. But he was placed in that tomb. I want you to know then and there that God said, "No more shall his body be despised on. No more shall it be spit upon. No more shall it be scourged. No more, it's finished." And they placed him in the tomb and they rolled that stone. My thought this morning is joy comes in the morning. I began to think about the disciples. And I began to think about Mary. And we'll get to her just here in a moment. I began to think about this life that we live in. How oftentimes it's hard. How oftentimes that struggles come along the way. How here it was that the Messiah had came, the Savior had came, and all of these things that he had told them, all of these things that he had declared to them, and all of these things that he had tried to tell them, and yet they couldn't understand what he was trying to say. And yet as he gave up the ghost and they take his body, I couldn't imagine the distress that not only his mother felt as Jesus told him, he said, "Behold thy son," as he was there on the cross. I couldn't imagine what his disciples felt, those that had seen him there. No doubt the sorrow they had felt in their heart. I want to read to you over here in John. Pray for us this morning. I'll be able to bring us out in a way that be pleasing unto the Lord. In the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, it said, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth laying lie, and the napkin that was about his head not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And went in also the other disciples which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why seekest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go unto my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And I want to, for a little context, I want to look over here in Psalms, in the 30th chapter of Psalms. And it says in the 4th verse, Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, but in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. As I thought about this piece of scripture this week, and I thought about a lot about the first day of the week, and I began to ponder about the darkness there, that it was very early in the day, and yet it was still dark outside. And y'all know this morning I'm just country, but I'll just be honest with you, the thought that the Lord's given me this week is I've never been one to be much of a morning person. Anybody that knows me very well, I tend to try to sleep in the best that I can, and having little ones, that's not very often, you just don't get a lot of sleep. But I began years ago, after we started having children, you know, having to get up a little earlier, but I began to think about this week, really my middle child more. And Baylor, he's a little different. If you've got to meet him, he's a little different. But there's things that Baylor has said that he just, if you allow your children, your babies will preach you messages and you don't even know it. And the Bible tells us out of the mouth of babes. I mean, it's just a lot of times that they'll give you something and you'll be like, wow, God will just open it up to you. And there's been moments in time that me and him's been going down the road and he'll start singing this song called Mr. Sun. And he'll look out there at that old sun as me and him would head down the road, and that sun would crest out. And he'd say, Daddy, look at that sun. He said, Ain't God good? God's give us that sun, Daddy. Yeah, God is good. God is good. We'd get out there in the yard, and he'd say, Daddy, he said, God is the sun. And I'd begin to think in a moment, and I was just the point I was fixing to correct him, and I said, No, buddy, you're right. He said, God is the sun. If we allow our children to, they'll speak to us. This morning I began to think about when it was yet dark. I can't imagine what was in the heart of Mary as she went there to that sepulcher to see her Savior, the one that that had promised her all of these things, that she went there out of great love and reverence and respect that she had for him, that she was going to go there and make sure that he would get due respect and due reverence to the best that she could. She was going that she might bring spices and things that might honor his body that was laying there. And can you imagine what she felt and what she experienced when she got there, that big stone that had been rolled in the way, that yet now that it is re-rolled out of the way, it wasn't there. And as she went in and began to look around, she noticed that his body wasn't there. And here come Simon Peter, and here come the other disciple whom the Lord loves, John, and they run in, and Peter, stooping down, he looked in. John, looking in, seen there that the linen clothes was there and that the napkin was folded neatly and it was placed there. And this morning, I don't want to get too much into that, but a representation that that he was coming back. That napkin being placed. It said that they didn't understand. They said, but Mary stooped down at the sepulcher weeping, and she wept and stooped down and looked in the sepulcher, seeing two angels. And he said, one at the head and one at the feet. And it says that she was weeping. It said, why weepest thou? And she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. The fool says in his heart this morning, there is no God. I remember here a while back talking to Brother Don, and he talked about how it was going over there in Jerusalem and getting to see Calvary and getting to see all of those things. And boy, that's a trip one day I'd love to take. And I can't imagine what it is to look over there and to see those. But brother, I can tell you this morning, I've never been there. But honey, through the eye of faith, I've seen that place. I've seen that place. What about you? Boy, I'm telling you, I've got to see that place. I've read about it and I've studied about it. But honey, if I never get to go, that still won't change the way I feel about it. The tomb. She said, why weepest thou? He said, his anger endureth for a moment. This morning, I want you to know something, that as Jesus Christ was there on the cross and that he bore our sins for me and for you this morning, I want us to get it, what he's done for us, that he bore our sins upon the cross. And there, that I want you to understand that blackness come across that land for a span of about 3 hours. And that I want you to know this morning that yet, as he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's people there. I want you to know that I've talked to people in the past and they said, well, Jesus sinned. Jesus never did sin. Jesus was without sin. I want you to know that he took my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world upon him upon that cross. And I want you to know that his Father had to look away. His Father had to look away. And in that moment in time, Jesus bore it all. Every bit of it for me and for you. They didn't take his life, but he gave his life. It said he hung his head and said it is finished and gave up the ghost. He gave his life for me and for you. I realize this morning as we began to think about all the things of this life and I began to think about even some of my friends. I had a close friend that died last year that me and him was close in the same age and yet we were called to preach about the same time and were ordained to preach about the same time and he was pastoring a church and I began to think, well, Lord, sometimes why is it the things that happen the way that they do? Why does this one have to die? Why does that one have to die? I want you to know this morning that it's all in our nature that all of us are going to die. Folks, have a clear understanding. Listen, I'm not here to try to scare your children, but they need to understand one day after a while that this flesh will return to the dust of the earth. Every bit of us will return to the dust of the earth. This body is going to decay one day after a while. And it's what you do between now and then that will determine the outcome of eternity for your soul. Have you been saved? Do you know what it's like to walk through this life having a Savior that's alive? See, there's no question for me. I know that he lives, and I know that he reigns, and I know that he's seated at the right hand of God this morning. There's things in this life that is going to be hard, and I want you to understand that this morning. And that's the promise of having a risen Savior, because without the hope of God, without him having risen, there would be no hope for me and for you. There's so much that comes. I thought about friends that have died. I thought about loved ones that's done went on to be with heaven. And then I thought about what God has done for me and the promise that he's given us. He talks about over there in Psalms, he says, weeping is for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping lasts for the night. I can't imagine what they felt. They had taken the Savior and placed him in this tomb and rolled the stone away. We all know what it's like when we lose loved ones. We all know what it's like when things get hard in this life. And I want you to know something this morning. God never promised us an easy road. He never promised us that this life was going to be easy. When He saved my soul, that was just the beginning of my walk of faith. When God saved me, as a 9 or 10-year-old little boy, He knew all the things that was going to be laid out in front of me. He knew every aspect of my life. He knew everything that I was going to encounter. He knew every obstacle that I was going to have. He knew every hardship that I was going to come to. He knew everything about all of that. And yet, even in all of that, He promised me that He would be with me always. He said He'd go with us to the end, did He not? When we think about what it is, the weeping that comes to us, I know this morning that there's a time of joy and there's a time of weeping, there's a time of dancing, there's a time for everything under the sun that God has given us. But I'm telling you that in the day and time that we live in, oftentimes it's easy as God's people to get discouraged. It's easy to look out in the world and get discouraged. It's easy for us to get discouraged living in the life that we live in. It's easy to get the things of the world upon our mind. It's easy to get involved and wrapped up in everything that's going on. It's easy to sit back and say, Lord, why is it that we're still going on this way? I tell you, I'm a young man now, and there's times, even in my young age, I think, Lord, why don't we just go on home? But I want you to know something this morning, that it's only by God's mercy and His grace that we're still here. I tell you, weeping lasts for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. When God looked over there and He created in the beginning, in Genesis 1, He said, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And evening and morning were the first day. The first day He created light. I imagine, I told y'all I'm not much of a sunrise person. But I tell you, this morning I got to see that sunrise. And boy, as I turned out the road, all I could think about was what Jesus had done for me. I believe in my heart that it said that while it was even yet still dark, I'm talking about still in the twilight as far as dawn coming. I mean, just as soon as that horizon broke over, I believe He was up and out of that tomb. Can you imagine the first day? The earth was without void. It was complete darkness. It was just what I'd imagine, a big ball of matter, if you will. The Spirit of God descended upon the deep, upon the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you imagine what that looked like? There was nothing there. All darkness, all destruction, no light at all. And until Jesus came into this world, there was no light. And when He come out of that tomb, there was light again. Can you imagine? I believe in all of my heart there's been two sunrises that's been the prettiest. The first day that God set there, let there be light. And the day that Christ come up out of that tomb. Boy, I can't imagine what that looked like. I can't imagine what that looked like. So, there's joy that's coming in the morning. This life is full of hardships. This life is full of challenges. This life is not easy. But I'm telling you, thanks be unto God, because the promise that He has given us, because that He is risen, because He does live, He enables us to face tomorrow. We know that we can go out and face another day. You say, well, I can take on this life by myself. You can try. There's been a many that has. But unless you've been born again, unless you know that you have an eternal home in heaven, you have no hope at all. You don't know what it's like to have peace in here. You've never truly experienced what true peace is until God gives you this peace. I want more for you than anything for you to be saved. Joy comes in the morning. I feel like a lot of times I'm wandering around in the darkness. I can't imagine what those disciples felt. I think about loved ones that's done went on. I want to read this, what was read over here this morning. 1 Corinthians and 15. He says, for this, he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When Jesus Christ come up out of that grave, He conquered it all. He conquered it all. There's been many a time I've told Jessica, and she knows where I stand on it. My family does too. When it comes time for me to draw my last breath, or for me to close my eyes in death, and I know we say it all the time, but don't weep for me. Don't weep for me. I'm rest assured that I've gone on to be with my Lord. I've gone to be where I want to be. I want to be with Him. And when He gets ready, He'll call for me. And I'm looking to make that journey someday. I hope He gives me a little more time. I enjoy this life down here pretty good. But when He's ready for me, I'm ready to go. But that's not the end. I've got loved ones that's been placed down in the grave, and all of us do. But thanks be unto God, because of what Jesus did there on the cross, and because He risen out of that grave, there's a hope. And it's through and by Jesus Christ. That grave out there is not the end. That's not the end. That's not it. It's not finished there. Each and every one of us, whether we'll be changed from here to there when He returns in the twinkling of an eye, or them graves are going to burst wide open. And then we'll be given a body likened unto His, one that He's pleased with. Listen, church, if that don't stir joy in our heart, I'm telling you this morning, weeping lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. No doubt, boy, there was a joy when she went. Jesus said, woman, why weepest thou? She said, "Whom seek?" He said, "Who seekest thou?" She said, "Jesus." Not knowing who he was, thought that he was the gardener. He looked over there and he said, "Mary." Asked me how I know that he lives. We sang that song, "Because he lives in my heart." I know that Jesus is real. Not because I've ever stepped foot over there at Jerusalem and seen Mount Calvary or seen a tomb that he come out of. I know that he lives because he lives in my heart. I know that he's real. I know that he's risen because of what he's done right here. This morning, if you've never been saved, I want you to understand that each and every one of us are going to die. My little ones are just beginning to comprehend what death is. It's part of nature. We have calves die on the farm. Braxton will say, "Daddy, he go to heaven." You try to explain it to them. They know it's a part of life. Each and every one of us is going to die. But it's what we do here to make preparations for the next place. This place is just a temporal place. I love what Hebrews says. He said Abraham was just a pilgrim in search of a city whose builder and maker is God. Folks, I'm just on a journey. I'm looking for a better place. I'm looking for a city. This morning, that's my message. I pray the Lord bless you. I pray the Lord keep you. If there's darkness right now in your life, boy, you don't feel like you know where to go. Jesus is where you can go. He said, "Mary." And she recognized his voice. Boy, if you're a child of the King, you recognize his voice. You know when he speaks to you. You know when he speaks peace to your heart. There's an experience there that takes place. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Have you ever looked over there through the eye of faith? I don't know about those two mornings. I never did get to see them. But I'm telling you what, I'm looking forward to one morning. They'll outshine the rest of them. There's coming a day that'll never fade away. And I'm looking forward to getting to experience that. I want to experience it with all my family. I want more than anything for all of my family to be saved. I want them to be gathered around the throne with me. In Jesus. I want your family to be saved. I want them to know what it is to know and to think about that day that's coming. Folks, I'm telling you, he left that napkin wrapped. He left it folded very neatly. He didn't just toss it away and describe. That was a representation of him coming back. He's not finished as far as that goes. He's coming back. Let's be ready. Let's keep laboring. Let's keep working. Let's keep doing what God would have us to do. Weeping lasts for the night. Joy cometh in the morning. Boy, I'm glad to know this morning that I worship a risen Savior. What about you? Brother Strode, if you'd get us a song ready. A word or a thought on anyone's heart this morning. Anything. Go ahead, brother.